Tom McGuire came into the living room first.
Agnes told me, he said. Jesus.
I only took the job because I knew how you hungered to see the natural beauty and other wonders of Paraguay, Castillo said. You okay to leave right away for 3-4 days? McGuire nodded and asked,
Where are we going, Paraguay?
First to Chicago, then to Las Vegas. It's kind of iffy after Vegas.
I am always ready to go to Las Vegas on a moment's notice. But what's going on in Chicago?
Castillo told him of the president's call. And, Castillo finished, I think a distinguished supervisory secret service agent such as yourself can help reassure this guy's family, who are all cops. McGuire nodded his understanding, but said,
I think I should fess up right away, Charlie. I have been successfully avoiding the drug business since I joined the service, and the only thing I know about it is what I read in the papers.
I think, then, that this is what they call the blind leading the blind, Castillo said. The door opened, and a uniformed First Lieutenant Edmund Lorimer, Intelligence U.S. Army, stepped in the room, came almost to attention, and waited. Castillo thought he looked like a Special Forces recruiting poster, and remembered what the president had said about the First Lady saying that about him.
He's even wearing jump boots, Castillo thought,
which triggered a mental image of a highly polished, laced-up Corcoran boot from the top of which extended a titanium pole topped by a fully articulated titanium knee.
Good morning, Lorimer, Castillo said. Come on in and sit down. We don't do much standing at attention or saluting around here.
Good morning, sir. Thank you, sir.
Colonel Taurean, you know, and Major Miller, this is Supervisory Special Agent Tom McGuire of the Secret Service. McGuire wordlessly offered Lorimer his hand. Before these witnesses, Lorimer, Castillo said formally, I'm going to tell you, again, that anything you see, hear, or surmise here or at any place at any time about what we're doing or have done or plan to do is classified top secret presidential. Is that clear in your mind?
Yes, sir.
Any questions about that?
No, sir.
The President of the United States has tasked the Office of Organizational Analysis, under the authority of an existing presidential finding, with freeing Special Agent Timmons from his kidnappers, Castillo said.
Jesus H. Christ, Lorimer exclaimed. Wonderful. Colonel, I don't know how to thank you.
Castillo looked at him coldly, until Lorimer's face showed that he understood that his response had not been welcomed. If you have your emotions under control, Lieutenant, I will continue with the admonition that any further emotional outbreaks will not be tolerated.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir. It won't happen again.
Lorimer, to clear the air, have you ever been given an order that you were sure you were not equipped to carry out?
Yes, sir.
And what did you do when you were given an order you knew you were not equipped to carry out?
Sir, I told him I didn't know how to do what he was ordering me to do.
And then?
And then I tried to do it.
Were you successful in carrying out the order?
No, sir, I wasn't. But I tried.
That's the situation here, Lorimer. We have been given an order that is, in our judgment, beyond our ability to carry out. But we are going to try very hard to obey that order. You have absolutely no reason, therefore, to thank me. Clear?
Yes, sir.
So long as you remain useful, and more important, cause me and OOA no trouble of any kind, I am going to permit you to participate in this operation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
To say this is probationary would be an understatement. There will be no second chances. Phrased another way, Lieutenant, you fuck up once, and you're dead meat. Clear?
Yes, sir.
We are going to Chicago just as soon as I can change into uniform. Our mission, at the personal order of the President, is to assure Timmons' family that everything possible is being done to get him back. Since I don't have a clue about how to get him back, that's probably going to be difficult. One thing we can do, however, is produce you.
Sir?
With a little bit of luck, they'll know who you are, that you were Timmons' buddy.
Timmons's family knows who I am, sir.
Then they'll probably believe you when you tell them what happened down there.
I think they will, sir.
On the other hand, they may suspect we're blowing smoke. What's this guy doing up here when he should be in Asuncion looking for...
Byron, sir, Lorimer furnished. His name is Byron Timmons, same as his father.
In any event, while you are delivering the after-action report, you will look at me every 2 seconds. If I shake my head slightly, or if you think I'm shaking my head, you will stop in mid-sentence and change subjects. Clear?
Yes, sir.
Timmons's family will certainly have questions. Before you answer any question, you will look at me to see if I shake my head or nod. If I shake my head, your answer to that question will be something intended to assure them. It doesn't have to be true. You understand?
Yes, sir.
If you cannot carry out this instruction satisfactorily, Lorimer, I will conclude that you will not be of any value to this operation and will drop you off at Fort Bragg on our way back here. Clear?
Yes, sir.
Are you packed?
No, sir. I sort of thought I'd be staying here.
Go pack. You may well not be coming back here. When you're packed, put your bag in my Denali and wait there.
Yes, sir, Lorimer said.
He stood up and walked, with a just noticeable limp, out of the living room, closing the door after himself. As soon as it had closed, Miller said, I'd forgotten what a starchy prick you can be, Charlie.
My sentiments exactly, Taurean said. What were you trying to do, Charlie? Make that kid hate you? Couldn't you have cut him some slack?
I was actually paying him a compliment, Jake, Castillo said. And thank you for that vote of confidence.
Compliment?
Pegleg is obviously as bright as they come, at least as smart as I am. Before I called him in here, I gave a lot of thought to how I should treat someone I admire, and who is probably as dangerous as you say I am. If that offended you two...
Okay, Taurean said. You're right. He reminds me of a lot of fighter pilots I've known.
I would agree with that, Jake, except I'm pretty sure Lorimer can read and write.
Taurean gave Castillo the finger. Castillo took a small sheet of notebook paper from his pocket.
Call that number, please, Jake, and tell them when we're going to be in Chicago and how we can get from which airport to where we're going.
They used to have a nice little airport downtown, right beside the lake, Taurean said. Meigs Field. Supposed to be one of the busiest private aviation fields in the world. But the mayor wanted a park there, so one night he sent in bulldozers and they cut big X's on the runways.
Really? Miller asked.
Yeah. There were a dozen, maybe more, light planes stranded there. They were finally allowed to take off from the taxiways. And the mayor got his park.
He's... formidable? Miller suggested.
In spades, Taurean said.